Need a full engine repair? Would a $4,000 repair bill leave you stranded? I'm Danica Patrick. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Choose the company I trust, Endurance. No matter the mileage, if your vehicle is less than 20 years old, Endurance offers auto protection plans for any budget. Protection on the drivetrain, electrical, transmission, AC, and more. Plus 24/7 roadside assistance and rental car reimbursement on any plan. Endurance handles everything from making the claim to paying the certified mechanic of your choice. Act now and get one full year of elite benefits, a $2,000 value, free.
Endurance has paid hundreds of millions in claims. Call for your fast free quote today. Call 800-290-6207. That's 800-290-6207. 800-290-6207.
You're listening to WRGN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM, Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. As expected, the Senate voted down a border security measure negotiated earlier this year by both Republicans and Democrats.
The yeas are 43, the nays are 50. Three-fifths of the senators duly chosen and sworn having not voted in the affirmative, the motion is not agreed to.
Republicans rejected the bill they helped craft at the direction of former President Trump. During a joint news conference with Kenya's leader, President Biden was asked about Haiti.
This is a crisis. It's able to be dealt with. And we think we can build it this way with a multinational approach, with Haiti leading the way and us providing the intelligence as well as equipment.
Kenya is leading 1,000 police to Haiti to fight gang violence. Federal health officials have ordered the stockpiling of over 4 million doses of bird flu vaccine just in case. The TSA predicts 3 million people could pass through airport checkpoints in the U.S. tomorrow. This is ABC News. With the legalization of marijuana in more states, more people say they're using it on a daily basis.
According to a new study by Carnegie Mellon University, more people say they are habitual users of pot than are habitual drinkers. Researcher Jonathan Calkin says it's a turnaround from previous years.
For the first time, it reversed. And there were actually more Americans self-reporting that high-frequency use of cannabis as opposed to alcohol.
In 2022, over 17.5 million people reported using cannabis every day, as opposed to 14.5 million regular consumers of alcohol. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Bark Air, a charter service for dogs, operating its first flight later today. From New York to Los Angeles, it aims to make flying less stressful on dogs by letting them avoid being confined in a bag or in the cargo hold. Bark Air flies between New York, L.A., and London, but other cities are being added soon. Tickets start at $6,000. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains from May 24th through June 3rd. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your bedroom, living room, or home office, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
When you use Bounce dryer sheets and your clothes look amazing, it's the sheet. Less static in your life? Yeah, it's the sheet. Smelling fresher than ever? It's the sheet. Oh, so soft fabric? Ooh la la. It's the sheet. Less wrinkles on your clothes? You know it's the sheet. Bounce dryer sheets. More freshness, more softness. Less static, less wrinkles. It's the sheet.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Aylin. Former Janesville High School coach who hit a camera in a girl's locker room is heading to prison. 38-year-old Brian Kitzman was arrested in May of last year after the camera was discovered in a Craig High School locker room. Kitzman, who later admitted to secretly recording naked videos of girls as far back as 2015, pleaded guilty in December to several counts connected to the recordings. A Rock County judge sentenced Kitzman Wednesday to 19 years in prison and 19 years of extended supervision, or 1 year for each of his victims. He'll be required to register as a sex offender for 15 years once he's released. A manure spill into a West Central Wisconsin creek killed fish along more than a mile.
According to the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, the failure of a dairy farm's manure handling system last weekend resulted in the spill. An angler reported the fish kill in Moore Creek in Monroe County on Saturday. The DNR then traced the kill back to that manure spill at the dairy farm. The agency did not identify the farm, but said an investigation is ongoing. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
A Madison utility expects it'll be a few days before power is fully restored following storms on Tuesday night.
Madison Gas and Electric spokesman Steve Schultz calls the severe storms historic and that they haven't seen numbers like this in decades as far as outages. Schultz says it was a big wind event with hurricane-force winds, which broke hundreds of poles. Just fixing one pole can take a full day. MG&E is reaching out to mutual assistance groups in an effort to secure additional crews to help with restoration efforts. In Madison, Robin Colbert, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Your Touchstone Energy Cooperative knows safety is the backbone of reliability. From the ongoing training of our line workers to classroom safety programs for our kids, our commitment to electrical safety has always been job one, so we can deliver reliable energy and peace of mind. That's why safety runs through everything we do.
Riverland Energy, your Touchstone Energy Cooperative, your source for power and information.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. A beautiful sunshine day with highs hitting the mid-70s. It's the warmest and nicest day of the week, so get out and enjoy it. As more showers and thunderstorms surge in by tomorrow afternoon and linger through the evening. One call to Tax Solutions Now will solve all of your IRS problems. 1-800-281-8193. It's 77 degrees at our studios.
Hello, welcome into AOA, Agriculture of America. Happy to be here with you once again on today's program brought to you by our friends at Cenex. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Coming up, it is another busy show today as the back half of the program. We're going to talk Farm Bill with the markup happening in the House of Representatives on Thursday. Joby Young, Executive Vice President for the American Farm Bureau Federation, is going to join us in segment three to discuss the latest on the Farm Bill and talk about a American Farm Bureau Federation stance on the House GOP version, the Senate version, and much more. So looking forward to that discussion. Also coming up in segment four, we might talk Farm Bill, but also going to talk some state issues for Minnesota with the president of the Minnesota Farm Bureau, Dan Glessing, going to join us for a conversation. And coming up in segment two as well, looking forward to talking with Joe Mann from the Minneapolis Federal Reserve, looking at the economic conditions throughout the Minneapolis district of the Fed and talking ag economy and much more. So looking forward to that discussion coming up here in just a little bit on AOA. Brought to you by Cenex. Every minute matters. On the farm and ranch, bulk premium diesel fuel storage can boost productivity and maximize your ROI. Learn more at your local Cenex location or visit Cenex.com for more information. Well, let's get things started. And joining us now here on the program as we take a look at the market trade, Mike Zuzulo with Global Commodity Analytics. Mike, welcome back to AOA. Hope you're doing well.
Doing great, Jesse. Thanks for having me back, and happy pre-Memorial Day weekend. Thank you for all those veterans and their families who've given their ultimate sacrifice for us.
I couldn't agree more with that. We thank all of them very, very much. Let's talk market trade action, and it's been quite a ride here in this grain trade as of late. I know looking at Thursday's early action, a little bit of green here. Export sales numbers sounds like they weren't too great, though, on Thursday morning. Let's start there. Talk about that.
Yeah, we started off higher to sharply higher, led by the soybeans. A little bit puzzled by that, given the weekly export sales. Pretty negative, unfortunately, across the board, especially in light of the fact that we've been hearing pretty much all week this week that China is in for U.S. PNW soybeans. Two, maybe six cargoes is what I'm hearing currently, Jesse, and that obviously due to what's happening in Rio Grande do Sul and the price shooting up in the port of Paranagua as a result of that historic flooding. But yeah, the weekly export soybean sales, actually the beans down 15% from the four-week average, meal down 39% from the four-week average. Soy oil actually a negative on the week and below the lowest trade guess. But I think the soybean sale number for me personally, I would have liked to have seen a better number, thinking that, okay, China was in for more than what we've been talking about. So I think soybeans are going to be the linchpin as far as whether we can really do much in terms of upside in the grain markets as a whole as we get ready for the three-day holiday.
Well, and speaking of soybeans, on lead month July futures, that 1250 mark has kind of been the sticking point really all week long, it feels like. It just feels like we haven't had enough momentum to break through that 1250 mark.
Yeah, you're right. And 1260 is just as important a mark for me. Those two numbers, I think those are the ones that are going to probably bring in, if violated, buy stops, and the funds will probably come in and try and take us up towards new 2024 highs. The November did get up to 1228 earlier this morning. That's near the four-month high made a couple weeks ago of 1230.5. But you bring up a good point about the July beans being very premium to the November. That's a sign of a strong market. That's something to keep watching here as we close out the month and get into June, especially with the question mark about whether we're going to get all the corn planted in this country or not. And if not, and you don't have chemicals, fertilizer down, moving into more soybeans.
Well, and that's a good point. I was talking with a farmer in north central Iowa about that exact topic yesterday. We were texting back and forth a little bit, and he talked about there could be some replant and maybe some loss of N with all the heavy rain that you mentioned, maybe some shifts to soybeans. And he also mentioned, too, some local basis pushes in his region for corn and maybe some corn sales around 480 this week. Sounds like there's some opportunities out there for marketing, just some of it might be localized right now.
I think so, too. And you know what surprised me about the weekly export sales is even though the corn number was right on the middle part of the range of estimates, China was our number two buyer after Mexico. And that was a really nice thing to see. They were also, you know, one of our buyers on the beef side of the equation, number one buyer, in fact, on the beef export sales. So it's nice to see China back in light of those big tariff increases that we put on them roughly a week or so ago. And I think that's going to present some maybe upward bias in the market if they don't respond negatively to us, and especially if that dollar can stop going straight up the flagpole.
How about the wheat markets? You have done a lot of analysis on these wheat markets and pointed to them as the need to be the upside leader here. A lot of global weather concerns in wheat. What's your feeling here as we near the three-day weekend in this wheat complex?
Yeah, we're about a month into a wheat-led rally. It started about a month ago today, and it started with hard red. I think we moved into the soft red naturally because of the crop tour in Kansas, and also because what's really leading this market is Europe and the Black Sea. There's still a lot of weather to be traded in both Ukraine and Russia, in my opinion, as far as upward mindset and prices if they don't get rains here in the next couple weeks, because I think we put in some premium. But just for example, IGC came out this morning, cut the world wheat number for the new crop, 3 million metric tons to 795. That compares to USDA's 798.2. Russia, Ukraine were the main reasons for that. We could see more declines in production from Argentina and from the Baltic states as well, if Mother Nature doesn't turn around here in the next couple weeks, if you ask me, Jesse.
Should touch on livestock real quick. I know cattle on feed report coming up Friday after the close into a three-day holiday weekend. So some things to definitely focus on in this cattle market, it sounds like.
Yeah, really nice export sales in the beef with China number one buyer, 32% above the four-week average. Pork coming in down 3% from the four-week average, but up 24% from last week. Hogs may be trying to make a bottom, in my opinion, but the key will be this cattle on feed report like you're talking about. May expiration of feeders along with cattle on feed report both Friday, and then we close for 3 days. Expect volatility, and I think the feeders are going to keep watching that corn market. But fat cattle probably want to try and put some premium in this market on some pretty bullish cattle on feed estimates that the news wires presented us.
Mike, always appreciate the insight and analysis. And if folks were to take a look at your work, your analysis, reach out with questions, how could they get a hold of you, Mike?
The best place is globalcomresearch.com. It's got a product services brochure, trial period, sign up, and also the toll-free number. So it's globalcom with two M's, research.com.
With that, Mike Zuzolo, Global Commodity Analytics. Mike, have a great holiday weekend. Thanks for joining us here on AOA. We appreciate it.
Right back at you, Jesse. Thank you.
Mike Zuzolo there once again with Global Commodity Analytics joining us on AOA. Brought to you by Cenex. After long days in the field, equipment is subject to wear. Cenex premium lubricants help keep equipment protected. Learn more at Cenex.com. Coming up next, we're going to talk about the ag economy in the Minneapolis Fed District with Joe Mahon from the Minneapolis Federal Reserve. He joins us next on AOA.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready, and health insurance is your financial safety net. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-760-9937. That's 800-760-9937. 800-760-9937.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Now, we tend not to think about.
Got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2024 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wissoybean.org.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And thanks for staying with us here on AOA, brought to you by Cenex. As a farmer, unpredictability is inevitable. Protect equipment with Cenex Premium Diesel to keep you in the field. Learn more at your nearest Cenex location or visit Cenex.com for details. Well, let's talk about the broader economy and the ag economy and how conditions are in the Minneapolis Fed District. Joining us now for a conversation, Joe Mahon with the Federal Reserve at the Minneapolis Fed. And Joe, thank you for joining us here on AOA. It's great to talk with you. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Jesse. Happy to be on. I'm doing great.
Well, thank you for the time. Let's talk about, just for starters, conditions in the Minneapolis Fed District. And give us your overall perspective to start, just the health of the ag economy and more in the Minneapolis Fed District right now.
Yeah, well, overall, it's not surprising, I think, to any of your listeners to hear that we've seen evidence that farm incomes decreased, at least in the first quarter of this year relative to a year earlier. And that's obviously due to a combination of most agricultural commodity prices trending down on a year-over-year basis. Some of them have perked up a little bit more recently than the survey that we just released was conducted. And, of course, cattle is a big example of that. But generally, those commodity prices are down. Input costs are still high, and so that's leading to margin compression. So no surprise that our most recent survey found evidence of declining incomes, and that's consistent with what the USDA is expecting for this year as well. I will say overall, though, that it's a decline from a relatively high level, and we're still hearing from a lot of producers that they're still in okay position in terms of their working capital cushions. Kind of a mixed bag overall, yeah.
Yeah, mixed overall. And that seems to be the sentiment, I think, across a lot of the U.S. ag economy as a whole. And I was just going to say, as for listeners as well, I should have set this up, the 9th District for the Minneapolis Fed. I know you guys cover Minnesota, the Dakotas, parts of Wisconsin, the UP of Michigan, and Montana. Looking at primarily conditions here in the Northern Plains, Upper Midwest region. And you mentioned the latest report, and I know farmers in the district, I think, paid some $840 million in interest payments alone in 2023, if I was looking at those numbers right. Talk about that, and how have higher interest rates continued to affect the ag economy through the first part of this year?
Yeah, well, I mentioned increasing expenses, and certainly interest expense, financing costs on outstanding loans balances is one of those expenses. And again, we know from USDA data that those have been going up, expected to increase again this year. And that report you're alluding to was actually by a colleague of mine, Tate Berg, who works in our banking supervision area. So he looked at some banking data and got that number for the, it was an increase of about more than $300 million. In agricultural interest expenses. And that's not just due to increases in interest rates, it's also due to increases in loan balances being serviced. So those two things both moving in the same direction and adding up to a much more significant interest expense for farmers in our region.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for clarifying that too. How do we feel about the current interest rate environment, and how long do we see this? I know this term higher for longer has been thrown out by various analysts and different folks talking about just the overall interest rate picture. Are things starting to slow down? Do we think we're going to hold at some higher rates here as we go through the rest of the year? I mean, what's your thoughts on that current environment right now from the Minneapolis Fed perspective?
Well, I'll take that in two parts. The first is, I think you're talking about interest rate policy, the Federal Reserve sort of monetary policy and the interest rate target that they set with the Fed funds rate. And those decisions are really data dependent. They're really based on what's happening in the overall economy. And the Federal Open Market Committee that makes those decisions really has two key goals in mind, and those are maximum employment and price stability. We know that the job market nationally is pretty strong right now. You can see that even though we had a slight reduction in employment growth over the last month, still very strong employment growth year over year, a very low unemployment rate. The inflation rate is still pretty high, but I really want to underscore that those decisions are very much dependent on the data as they come in. So there's not necessarily a crystal ball where we can say, well, we think that the economy is going to do this over the coming year, and therefore the policy should change by X amount. It's really dependent on the data that come in. Now, what I can say in more concrete terms for your listeners, we conduct this survey on a quarterly basis of agricultural credit lenders in our region, and one of the things that we ask about on a quarterly basis is average interest charge on a number of categories of loans. And what we actually did see in the first quarter of this year was a slight reduction in the interest rates charged on, for example, operating loans, both on a fixed and variable basis. Small reduction, I'm not talking about anything huge. And of course, on comparing to a year ago, certainly compared to 2 years ago, those interest rates are much higher. So it's cold comfort, but what I would point out is it's consistent with what we also saw in some of the other credit markets, mortgages in particular, 10-year treasuries as well, those interest rates have trended down. So there's been easing in the credit markets, even though the Federal Reserve's benchmark interest rate target has remained unchanged. And that's kind of an acknowledgement to sort of, I think, changes both in those credit markets and loan demand, but also in the broader economy as well.
We're talking with Joe Mann from the Federal Reserve Bank of Minneapolis here today on AOA. And Joe, you mentioned some bright points there, and let's talk about this a little bit. I mean, any areas in particular, as you've done the most recent survey, that there were some of those bright spots for farmers and ranchers and the bankers they work with, and also any concerning spots? I mean, land values, you mentioned operating loans, equipment, et cetera. Mm-hmm. I mean, talk about some of the positives and or negatives that maybe you guys have seen here with that latest survey data.
Yeah, well, the brightest bright spot that I could point to, and I mentioned this a little bit earlier, was the cattle market. So we have a lot of cattle producers in our region, particularly further to the west in Montana and the western Dakotas. And they're benefiting from still very strong cattle prices. And that reduction in grain prices and corn prices and soybean prices in particular are actually good news to them, because that means their feed costs have gone down. So they're kind of getting a positive news on both ends. And we heard that from some of the lenders in our region that are more concentrated in those heavy cattle producing areas. One comment from North Dakota kind of put it very succinctly. He said, "Cattle ranchers are happy, wheat farmers are not." And I think that sort of summed it up pretty nicely. So that's the biggest bright spot that I would point to. One other thing I'd point to, and of course your listeners know this, at least those who are in our part of the country know that we've gotten some pretty good moisture in recent weeks, and it's pretty well timed, which is, I think, kind of unusual. We're not used to that in the spring when we get a lot of rain. It usually comes at the worst possible time. And so that's good news so far, and we've seen drought conditions abate in our region. Turning to the negative side, I think the biggest source of concern is what's going to happen to more highly leveraged producers. And I want to be clear that on average, agricultural producers, both in our region and nationally, are not that highly leveraged. But there's a smaller segment of producers who are very highly leveraged, and they're looking at they're in a position now where both their interest rate expense is going up, their outstanding loan balances are going up at a time when their incomes are going down. So I think that's the biggest source of fragility that some lenders, some bankers are expressed some concern about. Land values, they're up on a year-over-year basis across our region, but a lot of that increase happened earlier in the past year, not as much of an increase in the most recent quarter that we have data for. So we'll see what happens with those. And cash rent values are up slightly on balance, but nearly flat. So overall, I think that's kind of the biggest concern, is just that some of those operating costs remain pretty high at a time when commodity prices are trending downward. And if those don't start to come back into balance soon, we might have a more negative picture for incomes.
Joe, great thoughts and perspective. We got just a minute left. Anything final you'd want to share or reiterate with listeners here today?
No, I just really appreciate the opportunity to speak directly to your listeners. If they're interested in reading more about our content on agriculture, we have a number of recent pieces, including my survey release, but also that other story about agricultural interest expense in our region. And you can find those at our website, MinneapolisFed.org. There's a link to a couple of them right on our homepage. It should be pretty easy to find. Would love it if you would check those out.
MinneapolisFed.org. And with that, Joe Mann with the Federal Reserve Bank of Minneapolis. Joe, appreciate you joining us. We'll welcome you back to AOA anytime in the future. Thanks so much, and have a great weekend.
I look forward to it. Thank you.
Joe Mann there with the Federal Reserve Bank of Minneapolis, talking ag economy in the Minneapolis 9th District. Again, serving the states of Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota, Montana, Northwestern Wisconsin, and the UP of Michigan. So good to get some perspectives on how things are looking in that region. All right, coming up next, we're going to turn our attention to the Farm Bill. Joby Young with the American Farm Bureau Federation will join us next on AOA, brought to you by Cenex. On the way, right after this.
We've been fighting the war on drugs for a long time. We answer the phone 24/7, 365 days a year. On a busy night, we answer hundreds of calls. This war on drugs needs our intervention.
Since 2014, Addiction Hope and Helpline has helped people struggling with drugs and alcohol.
When the phone rings, we help people when they need it the most. When we get a caller into treatment, it feels good. It's a blessing.
If you're struggling, drinking, using, and need to get clean, don't suffer alone in silence. Call Addiction Hope and Helpline.
Our people understand, and many are also in recovery. Call for support and strength. You can call for someone who can't or isn't willing. It's an act of love. Together we can help you beat this thing and erase addiction from your vocabulary once and for all.
Call 800-320-1993. That's 800-320-1993. 800-320-1993.
Listening to AOA. I'm Jody Heemstra.
Every tractor owner knows that support and service after the sale is what makes a good tractor company great. That's what you can count on from LS Tractor. An extensive dealer network gives you convenient access to genuine LS Tractor factory parts and factory-trained technicians, keeping you in the tractor, not in the waiting room. Schedule your service with Synergy Co-op, your LS Tractor certified service center. LS Tractor, simply more.
Customer-owned, community-minded, Synergy Co-op.
Milk markets are higher with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnikins at the Mercantile Exchange. June milk up 2 to 1997, July up 9 to 1996, August up 15 to 1984, September steady at 1957. Meanwhile, live cattle markets are mixed. Feeder cattle are mostly lower. There's a lot of positioning ahead of the cattle on feed report and also the three-day holiday weekend, plus some strength in some of the grain markets affecting some of those feeder cattle prices today. Hog markets moving mostly higher. Short covering type of bounce in the market due to the oversold condition as of late. June live cattle up 15 cents to 184.32. May feeder cattle down 40 cents to 249.97. June hogs up 22 cents to 95.62. Chicago Board of Trade, corn, soybeans, and wheat all moving mostly higher as the Eastern Corn Belt has missed out on the rains over the last few days and is making good planting progress. But more rain is on the way, which will delay acres that have yet to be planted. Global weather with challenges in Brazil and Russia also supporting prices. July corn up 5.5 to 466 and 3/4. New crop up 4.25 to 488 and a quarter. July beans up 2.25 to 1248 and a half. New crop up 4.25 to 1222 and a half. Chicago wheat, July up 9.25 to 702 and a quarter. Minneapolis wheat, July up 6.5 to 743. With markets, I'm Brian Winnikins.
Stay clean and dry while doing chores around the farm with waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech workwear is ready to go for the next day. UtterTech has products for veterinarians, poultry, swine, goat farmers, and even kids, too. See all the UtterTech products designed to help you on the farm at UtterTechInc.com.
Resetting your password, unsubscribing from emails, printing anything. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with an auto owner's insurance independent agent, getting the right coverage for your business doesn't have to be one of them, so you can get back to more important things, like learning how that printer works. That's simple human sense.
Your hometown auto owner's insurance agents working for you. The Jerry Thompson Insurance Agency, downtown Durand.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
Well, Thursday is markup day for the House version of the Farm Bill on Capitol Hill, and there's been a lot of talk about this process here over the last several days. Welcome back to AOA, brought to you by Cenex Premium Diesel and Premium Lubricants. Learn more online by going to cenex.com or visit your nearest Cenex location for more information. We want to talk Farm Bill and where things stand right now with this ongoing process. Joining us for a conversation about that, he is the Executive Vice President of the American Farm Bureau Federation. Joby Young is with us here on AOA. Joby, welcome back to the program. Hope you're doing well.
Hey, hope you're doing well. Good morning, Jesse, and thanks for having me on.
Very busy, busy week in Washington, D.C., no doubt, with this Farm Bill markup happening on Thursday in the House. There's a lot going on here, and I think just for us to start, let's talk about this process and what's going on with the Farm Bill here, and give me American Farm Bureau Federation's thoughts on this House GOP bill. And I know it sounds like you guys are supportive of what text has been put out there from Chairman G.T. Thompson. Joby, talk about that for us a little bit.
Yeah, sure. Well, you mentioned there's been a lot of talk about the Farm Bill the last few days, but for us and most of the agriculture community, this is there's been a two-year conversation about the Farm Bill. And so, whether that's meetings across the country that that Chairman G.T. Thompson and other leaders on the agriculture committees have been doing, or conversations in Capitol Hill, that's all led up over 2 years to today. So it is a special day for Farm Bureau. We started 18 months, 2 years ago, developing our Farm Bill priorities. We put out about 60 different priorities that spread across the entire Farm Bill, and so we're really happy to see Chairman Thompson bring this bill to the committee today to actually get marked up. But also there's a lot in it that we like, and a lot of the priorities that we've expressed, he's addressed in the bill. So we're pleased to see that. And we're really looking forward to the debate that these members of Congress are going to start having today, here in about 30 minutes.
You mentioned some of those priorities that made it into the Farm Bill and the long process that we've had to get to at least this markup point. What are some of those top priorities and portions of this Farm Bill version in the House that you guys are most pleased to see in there right now, Joby?
Yeah, there's a number of things. It's a 900-something page document that he's put forward. But some of the big things that you pull out of that are the treatment he's given on our risk management programs, our farm safety net programs, which one of the things that our members had advocated for and that we prioritized was updating those reference prices and modernizing those programs, right-sizing them in order to match the economy we see today and the market conditions. And so Chairman Thompson's bill does a lot of good work in that area. The changes he's made in crop insurance in order to that he's proposing to make crop insurance more affordable and give the opportunity to expand crop insurance in the right areas to some commodities that we look forward to having some opportunity to expand that program. So crop insurance is a good area that appears in his bill. He has a good section on what he's done with conservation. That's been a priority of ours, making sure that the successful approach that we've had over years with conservation, having it being market-based, incentive-based program that's voluntary for farmers and ranchers, treating them as partners, he does that. Another area is the provisions he's included to protect interstate commerce and have a federal fix for the problems and the precedent that Prop 12 in California created. So as I'm sure most of the listeners know, the Supreme Court, we had a disappointing decision with the Supreme Court on that issue, but one of the things they said is that Congress needed to fix this issue. And so there's been a lot of bipartisan agreement about the fact that is a problem, and we're happy to see Chairman Thompson, his leadership, to propose a solution to that. So that's just a few of the things. As I mentioned, it's a 900 fake bill that covers 12 different titles of the Farm Bill, and there's a lot in there, but there's those things I just mentioned to you and a lot more.
We're talking with Joby Young, Executive VP of the American Farm Bureau Federation, here today on AOA. Joby, thoughts on the Senate side? We got a drastically different version of the Farm Bill on the Senate side from everything I've seen and heard, and I know there hasn't been as much movement on the Senate side, of course. What do the prospects look like over on that side of Capitol Hill?
Yeah, sure. Well, what we hope to see, we're thankful that Chairwoman Stabenow, we're thankful that she put out a framework a couple weeks ago around the same time that Chairman Thompson did, and we're hopeful that we'll see the Senate follow on behind the House, and we'll see text from the Senate, and we'll see a markup get scheduled there. That's the really positive thing about seeing a markup in the House, is that the formal process has started now. You know, as I mentioned earlier, before now, there's been a lot of great conversations and listening and behind the scenes drafting going on in the Farm Bill space for many months. But actually getting members into the room and let them start debating these issues and working out the differences, that goes from, you know, everybody looking at recipe cards to actually getting in the kitchen and baking the cake. And that's where we are now. So we hope that the Senate's able to do that. And you mentioned that they have, you know, a different proposals between what Chairwoman Stabenow put out from that have that might be exactly what Chairman Thompson's original chairman's mark with his bill is, and that's normal. You know, that's something you see every farm bill. It's a big bill. It's a complex bill that touches a lot of different areas: the agricultural portions, the nutrition portions, the rural development portions, and members and leaders. In Congress, are going to have different ideas, and that's fine. That's part of it. We see that every farm bill, but just getting this started in the House so that we can move it into the Senate is a really important piece here, and that's where we're really pleased to see.
Well, and you mentioned everyone's got different ideas, of course, and that's, you know, that's the name of the game in terms of Congress and on Capitol Hill. I wanted to ask you, Joby. I feel like, especially the last couple of weeks, it seems like the partisanship, the fighting, the battle lines with Republicans and Democrats and the back and forth over this farm bill has kind of ramped up. And I think in years past, you know, the farm bill has typically been very bipartisan, and maybe it's just a matter of, like you said, we got to get in the room and start baking the cake here a little bit. But it just feels like there's been a lot more, I'll say, mudslinging maybe between both sides here, and we have a presidential election year, of course, and a heightened political environment. It kind of feels like the farm bill process is becoming more political than bipartisan like it has been in years past. Can you share your thoughts on that?
Well, there's no doubt that it's a unique environment. It's not every time that a farm bill comes around that it coincides with a presidential election year. You know, on top of that, there's historically slim margins in the House between controls. In the House and the Senate, actually, between who controls the chamber. You have one or two vote margins of political control of those chambers, and that's also a very unique aspect of this debate. So yeah, you do have that landscape, which complicates things a bit and makes it maybe a bit more complex. But, you know, at the end of the day, I do think that we'll have a bipartisan farm bill. The starting point and the starting debate that you're hearing, that you mentioned, of hearing those different ideas about how these programs are designed or what the different proposals are, that's going to happen in any farm bill. It may be a bit more complex this particular year, but having this markup happen, having the ability to start that conversation and see how that goes is the important thing. And I think that we'll get a lot of indications today as we watch this committee meeting as they mark up the bill, which, you know, might go many hours through into the afternoon and maybe in the evening. That'll give us a lot of indication of where different members are, what their opinions are, and it'll help sort of at least establish the lines of debate that they can start working towards bipartisan consensus. You know, one thing I would share, you know, with your listeners is a few months ago, if you read the headlines, there was a lot of disagreements on an area like conservation, and the different members of Congress, leaders are really far apart, and they're actually very close now in that area. And so that's one success story I'd share with you, and they, you know, they have a little room left to get together on that issue. But the others where they're still further apart, you know, I think that's what we hope to see and what we expect to see as we go along here.
Joby, we got about a minute real quick as we wrap this up here today. We may know more after the markup today, but realistically with this process starting, do we think we can get a farm bill done this year?
Well, the our biggest enemy in this process is the clock. It is the calendar, and time is running out. You know, not only the calendar days, but also the other things that Congress has to wrestle with. We're looking at a debt ceiling out in the future here. We're looking at government funding issues. We're looking at tax reform debates in the next year and the presidential election. So as more of those things get closer and start to crowd the traffic pattern for us, that'll make it tougher for a farm bill. So that's why we're really thankful it's starting now. Hopefully they can keep pushing forward on that and avoid making it into that crowded schedule. But it is the challenge, and we'll keep working through it.
With that, Executive Vice President of the American Farm Bureau Federation, Joby Young. Joby, thank you for joining us on AOA today. Appreciate the time. Have a great weekend.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Coming up next on AOA, brought to you by Cenex, we'll talk with Dan Glessing, the President of the Minnesota Farm Bureau, right after this on AOA.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
I feel like I'm constantly cleaning hair off my bathroom floor. At least my Swiffer Sweeper makes it easy. Swiffer heavy-duty dry cloths have ultra-thick pads to trap and lock hairs, like a hair magnet. And when I'm finished cleaning up my hair, Swiffer takes care of his too. Now the hair's gone, all thanks to Swiffer. Try Swiffer Sweeper Heavy Duty Dry Cloths. I promise you'll love them or your money back. And also try Swiffer Sweeper Wet to make quick work of tough, sticky messes.
It's better over here. If you're 55 and up, T-Mobile has plans built just for you. Like 2 lines of talk, text, and data for just $30 a line. That's a 45% savings versus Verizon and AT&T. Experience all this and more on America's largest 5G network. It's better over here. At T-Mobile, customers 55 and up can get 2 lines of talk, text, and data for just $30 a line. Switch today.
With AutoPay using debit or bank account plus taxes and fees, 45% off 2 lines versus AT&T Starter and Verizon Welcome. Plan benefits vary. See details.
Do you have 3 ex-wives and your current trophy wife wants a life insurance policy 3 times the size of the policies you had to purchase for your previous mistakes? If so, you need to call Big Lou at Term Provider, 800-230-2777. Big Lou is intimately familiar with your problems, and if you're 50 or 60 years old and in reasonably good health, a $1 million policy should only cost about $100 to $200 per month. Big Lou may have a solution for your previous policies as well. You may even save enough money to lighten the load on your new $1 million policy. Remember, call Big Lou. He's like you, except he's only on number 2. Call Term Provider at 800-230-2777. That's 800-230-2777. For $1 million in term life insurance that you can live with, call Big Lou at 800-230-2777. 800-230-2777.
On the Table, sponsored by CHS. Join us and learn how CHS creates the vital connections that empower agriculture, helping farmers and ranchers like you succeed. We'll hear from different voices from throughout the cooperative system, sharing stories about how good things happen when people work together. Join us around the table every Tuesday or visit cooperativeownership.com to learn more.
A careless driver can change your life in an instant. Do you know what to do or who to call? If you've been injured in a motor vehicle accident and don't have an attorney, call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free consultation. We can answer all of your questions and estimate the potential value of your case. Call Auto Accident Help Desk and connect with an expert personal injury attorney.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Don't worry how to handle your medical bills, lost wages, and pain. We will get you the money you deserve.
They got me way more than the insurance company offered.
The consultation is free, and you don't pay any legal fees unless we win or settle your case. Make the smart call if you've been injured in an auto accident. Call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free legal consultation. Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Auto Accident Help Desk.
When news happens in agriculture or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
The landscape of media has changed, and people are more skeptical than ever about where they get their news and information. While major news outlets show decreasing credibility, your local farm radio station still shows strong marks. In a recent survey, farmers rated information from their farm broadcasters as almost twice as reliable as major news outlets. Farm radio continues to be transparent, honest, and trustworthy. This message brought to you by the National Association of Farm Broadcasting.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And AOA brought to you by Cenex. Selecting the right grease is critical. Cenex Premium Grease has helped equipment achieve superior strength and performance. Trust your local experts at Cenex to find the right premium grease for you or visit Cenex.com. Joining us now here on AOA, he is the president of the Minnesota Farm Bureau Federation. Dan Glessing is back with us here on the show. Dan, welcome back to AOA. Hope you're doing well. How's planting progress been going across the state of Minnesota?
Well, thanks for having me. We finished up here on Sunday, and so not a lot of folks are done with soybeans around here, but we were able to get into all our fields and get them in, and our first crop hay should be going down today, but there's a chance of rain tonight and tomorrow again, so we'll just take it as it comes.
All right. Well, good to hear as we continue to move that calendar closer to June. I know a lot of folks are trying their best to get completed with planting across the entire country. So good to hear things are going well. Let's talk about the 93rd session of the Minnesota Legislature. I know that wrapped up a few days ago. Talk about some of the policy highlights that Minnesota Farm Bureau was happy to see come out of the legislative session.
Yeah, certainly it was another eventful session, not quite as record pace as last year, but a lot of good things got done for agriculture. You know, we have agri funding here in Minnesota, and that takes everything from the farm gate on through to the processing and gives grant opportunities to better agriculture, so we are glad to see that those funds were approved. AFREC, which is the Ag Fertilizer Research and Education Council, that's a 40-cent checkoff on per ton of on fertilizer all across the state, and so we were glad to see another 5-year extension of that. Those some of those programs, and that research is approved by a board, various farmers and agricultural folks, and so it's really the boots on the ground to try and better utilize fertilizer, find new uses, find new ways of methods of application. So we feel it's a good program and glad to see that. There was a little bit of a shakeup on the board seat makeup there, but all in all, we're glad to see that come through. Another one would be soil health equipment grants. We talk a lot about soil health in the past few years and trying to get those measures out on the landscape takes equipment. And so there was almost $500,000 in grants available for soil health equipment. So those those are probably the top three that got passed, and we were glad to see that. There were some things in the environment bill that we were glad that we were able to stop. One of those would be the Drainage Disclosure Act. If there's tile in your land and you didn't know it and you didn't disclose it, you were liable for any repairs. And so that's a huge liability for farmers as they sell ground, not knowing if there's tile in the ground. And, our argument was any farmer who wants to make the most of their investment in that tile would disclose it anyways. But if you don't know it's out there, some of that. Another one would be the mandatory environmental impact statement on anything 10,000 animal units or more. We were able to hold that off because that does add a whole lot of time and a whole lot of expense to any livestock permitting process.
Well, all in all, it sounds like a pretty good session there in the state of Minnesota in terms of benefits to your farmer and rancher members for the Minnesota Farm Bureau, right, Dan?
Yeah, and that's not just in St. Paul. I mean, that doesn't stop. The interaction with legislators goes on all year, so I'd encourage anybody to reach out to those folks, invite them to your farm, and talk about the issues that are affecting them, because at the end of the day, that's how these things get passed or get stopped.
Dan, I know talking Minnesota there, I want to ask you nationally real quick, and maybe what you're hearing from your producers for a national level. Farm bill markup obviously happening on Thursday in the House in Washington, D.C. We just talked to Joby Young from the American Farm Bureau about that process. What are some things you've heard from your members across Minnesota and things that folks are paying attention to in terms of the Farm Bill markup process starting on Capitol Hill right now?
Yeah, certainly. I actually just got off the phone with Congresswoman Angie Craig, and she was talking about going into these markups. But, I think crop insurance, improvements to dairy margin coverage, corrections in CRP rates, those are all things that we've talked about for a long time. And, in the House version, they're there. I'm hoping we can get to a point where it's bipartisan in the House. We can get something through the Senate and then let conference committee, because quite honestly, the last time around in 2018, a lot of good things came out of conference committee. So if we can get to a bipartisan bill here in the House, I think things will start to move. And I hate to miss out on this momentum that we've got currently.
Well, and it's one of those things where we're already on the one-year extension, and I had even mentioned this in an op-ed piece here this morning, that, at this point with all the presidential politics and more, I think a lot of folks at agriculture really want to see something get done, because thinking back to 2018, it was a good bill, but 6 years ago now, the economics of farming and ranching have really changed, haven't they?
Well, absolutely. You need to freshen up those numbers and take a look at programs. Because 6 years is a long time, and so hopefully we can get something done. You know, when we pass that extension, September 30th seemed like a long ways away. Well, it's getting closer and closer all the time, and hopefully, like I said, hopefully we can capitalize on this momentum and go forward. But it does provide certainty to farmers and ranchers, and so we're just hoping for the best out of markup here.
Dan, real quick, any exciting events coming up for the Minnesota Farm Bureau here as we get into the summer months?
Well, certainly Farm Fest is probably the big event for us there in August and first week of August. But beyond that, it's these breakfasts on the farms that our county members host and county fairs where you can interact with those consumers. That's huge, and that's part of the what we do at Farm Bureau is to help advocate for what we believe in and how we're doing things, because at the end of the day, those consumers don't know unless they know. So, so those county fairs, breakfast on the farms, legislative wrap-up events, we've got a few counties doing some of those here coming up, and it's a good thing.
A lot of good things going on. FBMN.org for more. With that, Dan Glessing, president of the Minnesota Farm Bureau, thanks for joining us on AOA. Dan, appreciate it.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
All right, we're out of time on AOA, brought to you by Cenex. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a great rest of your day.
80 million listeners depend on AM radio to always be on, delivering news, sports, talk, traffic, and weather reports you can trust. AM radio also delivers vital emergency information when you need it most. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to pass the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act to keep AM radio in cars.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
And we're back, looking at another lopsided matchup, Jim. Today we have a combine taking on a train.
Yeah, that heavy train is about 1,000 times heavier than the combine. No competition there.
Right, especially given that it'll take at least a mile to stop that train.
That's 18 football fields.
It's no contest. Every day people are injured or killed trying to beat a train at rail crossings. See tracks, think train.
This message brought to you by Operation Lifesaver.
Now. We tend not to think about now. We dream about tomorrow, relive yesterday. But sometimes we don't see what's right in front of us. Victory over cancer is in front of us.
When something happens to your car, you might say, but what you really need to say is something that can actually help.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
And just like that, State Farm is there to help you file your claim right on the State Farm mobile app. So, just remember, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
Get the most important woman in your life a 5-carat certified colorless tennis bracelet for $1,650. Set in 14-carat gold.